ground dwellers.
She took a cup and she put it like that. And when the pumpkin was big enough, she put it in the cup. And it grew on top of the cup.
That? Edible squash flowers?
Really fertile, rich soil. Oh, I know.
It's pink!
Texture.
It really does. This is really good.
That is a 10 out of 10
that
find.
That is tables upon tables outside. And you go through and it's like entering a squash mall.
Really it's like cool. A squash growing in a squash.
Squashception.
Exactly.
Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. We are continuing our seed starting mini series with this week, Ground Dwellers. I know that seems really ominous. Okay, I should have picked a better name than that. But essentially, we're talking about those fruits and vegetables that don't grow underground. They don't grow like a pepper. They're not towering.
Yeah.
But they're sort of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. A lot of these I find to be kind of like, you know, the true vegetable.
Yeah.
Right? Like your broccoli, your cauliflower, kohlrabi.
Yep.
Like it's actual, like that is what I picture when I picture vegetable. Because like when I think of a true vegetable, mm-hmm. broccoli is the first one. Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
There's another one.
I could have grabbed Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, except the only, so I grabbed some Brussels sprout seed packs.
Nice.
I did grab that. And it's a good job you didn't grab Brussels sprouts because they're gross.
I grew up not liking them. And then as an adult, I love them, especially after I got an air fryer.
You know, people have said that to me and I don't trust it. I do use Brussels sprouts in my smoothies.
Yeah.
Because here's a good thing, like side tip on it, is a lot of these veggies, Brussels sprouts and broccoli and cabbage, as another one, are some of the best counter-carcinogenic veggies out there.
Really?
Yeah, like they are. So growing up, back in the 70s in England, it was always like, eat your vegetables, they're good for you. Mm-hmm. There was no real science to back that up. We didn't know what we know now.
Yeah, they said.
Exactly. But they were exactly right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much the science. It was they saw how unhealthy people were who did not eat vegetables.
Nice comparison there.
Exactly.
There's a correlation.
Yeah. Like that person ate no veggies. They are very sick. I will eat veggies. But yeah, you know what? It's funny how our palates change because, yeah, when I was a kid, did not like veggies.
Yeah. Like I can say pretty confidently that everything in this bowl other than zucchini, because I liked zucchini bread, I was not a fan of. And I mean, just looking at everything, I went to the grocery store and I went in there and I love this sort of task of the week because it gives me an opportunity to kind of see what's out there, right? And like you said, yeah, we've got the cauliflower, we've got the broccoli. I found honeydew melon, the cantaloupe. I love butternut squash.
Butternut squash soup?
Yes. Or butternut squash ravioli.
Never had it, but now I want it.
Because you can make ravioli vegan, right?
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. And then we have that eggplant as well.
Yep.
I found that it's really cool. There's different kinds of eggplant. Like there's an India eggplant that's a little bit smaller.
So I've never seen them in the... Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not an eggplant fan.
No?
I've had eggplant and the times I've had it cooked wrong more times than I've had it cooked right.
Oh, that's fair.
So and I've never cooked it. So yeah. I really can't speak too much of it, but I'm always like, when I've had it and it was cooked right, it was great. But mm-hmm. when it was wrong, it was terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm really on the fence. So I never really look at it. Can you get it out? It's like Excalibur.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. Oh, and what, do people call it red?
Okay, in this case,
it's
it
a
is
beautiful,
purple.
Yeah, the red onion is purple. I like how, in this case, like, I'm surprised they didn't call it red plant.
Okay, fair, touche.
Yeah.
You get this round, Colin. But I love eggplant parmesan. I love...
It sounds delicious, but I'm on the fence with it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to... I've never grown it. I've never grown it because I don't know what to do with it.
That's fair. And that's fair, right? You know, looking at different kinds of varieties of eggplant, I'd be curious to taste them and see if they're all kind of the same. Or maybe with a different variety, you can try a vegetable that you previously didn't like.
And I wonder that too, right? That's what I was thinking, is because I've seen that happen so many times mm-hmm. with kids, right? Kids, I've talked to parents in all the years I've been gardening, and my kid does not like veggies. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, I've heard that before. And I go, grow a veggie with them. It doesn't matter what it is, but I have yet to see a kid that grows their own veggie, goes out and waters it, and they're excited because they see the fruit form, who won't at least try it.
Yeah.
And you can see that they kind of, they don't like it or they're on the fence, but they are determined to like it. Yeah. Because they put effort into it.
Yeah, my sister actually didn't like cooked peas or peas from the store, but as soon as they were grown in my mom's garden, she loved it. Huge yep. fan.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, then you run the risk of, you know, you bring it home from the store and they're like, oh, I don't like this one because I didn't grow it. but it is a good thing to do. But I wonder that. I wonder if I grew eggplant. Mm-hmm. Would I be forced to do it, or would I just give them all away? Or I don't know. If I think I would probably learn a recipe that required it.
Yeah, I mean, you put in the work, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And yet, I love carrot cake. Mm. I do not like zucchini bread.
that's one from like the actual food to whatever you bake it in. That's just like a no.
Yeah, zucchini. I've never enjoyed it.
No.
In England, we copied the French name. They're not called zucchini. Do you know what they're called?
What?
Courgette.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, courgette. Ooh, courgette. Aren't we fancy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you heard of zoodles?
The alfagetti?
No.
Oh.
So you take a zucchini and then there's like a spiralizer thing that you can get and you can make zucchini noodles.
But don't they do alfagetti in the shape of animals and aren't they called zoodles?
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah, they are. That's right. Wow, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, you're like, zoodles and dino nuggets, I'm in.
But we've just, I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about vegetables and whatnot, but you know, you had the cantaloupe, the honeydew melon. And this episode, we're also talking about strawberries, which smell amazing right now.
The strawberry has got to be, I think, one of the most loved fruits.
Yeah. No, strawberries are huge where I was born, over in Creston, BC.
Yep.
And my mom, that was one of her first jobs, was going to be like a strawberry farm picker. And I'm like, sign me up. Where do I go? Like, yeah. I'm sure it's hard work. And like, I wouldn't be saying that after a week of doing it. But it just, I mean, the smell. Oh.
I picked blueberries one summer in the Maritimes.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Well, okay. Full disclaimer. I picked blueberries for one day in the Maritimes. They're like, we don't care how many blueberries you eat.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, oh, this is great. And then at the end of the day, you're like, if I see another blueberry, I'm going to be sick.
And that's actually a very, you know, important distinction to make today, because we could go on about a lot of those shrub types of, you know, fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. and how to grow them. But for today's episode, we're going to be talking about those ones that just sort of sit above the soil and that you would normally grow as like an annual in your garden. And so
exactly, the herbaceous ones, because yes. That's people, I think they get amazed when you tell them that blueberry is a shrub.
Yeah.
Saskatoon berry is a shrub, or a tree, the amelanchier. And I think people go, what? I think a lot of people expect them to grow more like a strawberry than a raspberry.
You went downstairs.
I did.
And normally I pick the seeds, and so I know what's there, but today you're going to surprise me. One of the things that I instantly see is something that we can't get in season right now, and that's pumpkins.
Yes.
Look at them all.
Yeah, look at, this is the one I would want to grow.
So it's Big Macs.
Big Macs. Big Macs.
That's a good guarantee, hey?
Yeah, like I don't know. And I mean, look at the orange and the lines. Mm-hmm. Like if I was thinking jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, here's the thing is, I don't think of food when I think of pumpkins.
No.
I really don't. I don't think of pumpkin pie, mm-hmm. or other things. I don't know what else you can do with a pumpkin.
And pumpkins.
What else can you make with a pumpkin? You
probably make a pumpkin soup.
Oh, yeah, you can.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's an important distinction. You know, when you're going to grow your pumpkins, what is the end result going to be? Why are you growing this thing that's going to take a long time, right? Because these take 95 days.
And here's the thing. So I know we'll talk about this further on in the episode, mm-hmm. but I have to bring it up now, is with some of these veggies, I know, I get it. People get excited and they see that. And I didn't grow up doing this, but I love it. It's one of those North American traditions, mm-hmm. that I didn't grow up with, but I think is fantastic, is going and picking your pumpkin from the pumpkin patch or whatever.
I love that.
It's so much fun. It's like a perfect autumn activity. Mm-hmm. And people, they get this notion that they want to do that. But what they don't realize is how difficult they can be to grow and the requirements. And like you said, how long it takes, you know, and if something goes wrong midway in the season, and I'll share my story later. Ooh, cliffhanger. Obviously something went wrong, but what?
Place your bets now.
Yeah. What could it be?
Text into this number.
If something goes wrong, you don't get a do-over.
Yeah.
You don't get a do-over. So like mid-season, you're like, oh no, this has happened. And I've had that happen with cucumbers, mm-hmm. okay, where I got powdery mildew and the plant died, but I'd already harvested 15, 16 cucumbers off it. So it wasn't that tragic. Mm-hmm. But where there's something that's a late game. Oh, have you ever seen growing a sunflower and something eats the head off right before it opens? You're like, something, as in squirrels.
Yeah. Oh, so annoying.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought, oh, there's like not a lot of varieties of pumpkin. Like there can't be. But looking at what you brought, I mean, there's the Howden.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about this one is it says that it's an excellent choice for the Halloween trade. And I'm like, oh, that they're advertising usage for Halloween. That's it really cool. It
makes total sense. Yeah.
The Jack of all trades.
I got that one because it had Jack in the name.
I love that. And it actually says it's fine for pies. So like if you're, and that's another thing, holiday, are you going to be growing it for a pie?
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, because mm-hmm. I've never done it before, but the guts, when you hollow out the pumpkin, those guts are what you make the pie from, and the seeds are what you roast and you eat or plant in the garden. Mm. But that's like that. So you can carve the pumpkin, but it's not one of those ones that's wasted at all because you're carving the part that you would discard.
Oh, you could do it all.
It's you a know, 10 out of 10 vegetable.
There, if that's an intention for this growing season, right?
Not only is it healthy and fibrous and you can make delicious pies, it's also decor. Name another vegetable that pulls that off.
I know we've set the bar high, right? And also that comes in different colors. This is called a pink banana jumbo.
Oh, I know.
It's pink.
It doesn't even look like a pumpkin, does it? That's why I saw it and I was like, that's a pumpkin?
Rich pumpkin flavor. It can reach over 120 centimeters or 48 inches long.
You know somebody out there is trying to hybridize a pumpkin spice. A pumpkin spice, you hollow it out and you have instant pumpkin spice pie.
Do you think?
I don't know. I think
somebody find out and comment.
If not, we are going to do it. It's another one of our ideas.
We just do that, right? We're actually entrepreneurs.
Yeah, have an idea. There you go.
What else do we have here? Okay, so along the pumpkin line, let's go into squashes.
Okay.
Okay, another cool thing about Creston, BC, this is going to be my Creston, BC episode.
Absolutely.
But, if you go there in the fall, have you ever been there?
Nope.
Oh, it's lovely. They have wine. They have...
Wait, I don't even really know. It's in the interior. Is it Kelowna region?
So do you know where Cranbrook is? Kind of.
I think I've passed it on.
Yeah. So if you go Highway 3 and then you go out and you see Cranbrook signs, you go past Cranbrook for about 45 minutes to an hour. So in Creston, it's a lot of farming. And so...
Yep. I was scratching my nose. My nose was...
Something was on my nose. Anyway, they do a lot of farming in Creston, and they do a lot of like obviously wine and everything, and a lot of orchards, so a lot of apple trees.
Oh, the growing climate out there is.
It's amazing. But they do a lot of squashes too. So you go there in like September, October when it's squash season, and we go to Willoka's. Love Willoka's. And they do just tables upon tables outside, and you go through and it's like entering a squash mall.
My God, I love the aesthetic of autumn.
Oh, right.
I love the orange and the smell mm-hmm. and the fires and the crisp leaves and that.
Yes.
Exactly what, when you go in and there's like Jeanette downstairs when she brings in the pumpkins and mm-hmm. there's the white ones and the knobbly ones and the green and then all of the different gourds. And
isn't it funny that you say that? Because looking at these squashes, that's pretty much the color palette.
Yeah.
That's like the color palette of autumn, and that's when you harvest these.
Yeah.
That's so strange. I've never made that connection before. I love this one. This is called Sunburst.
That one just looks cute, doesn't it?
It's very cute. It looks like one of those little mood changing octopus things that you give kids. They're so cute.
I thought they looked like gummy candies.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I thought like they would be a great gummy candy shape.
It says it has a buttery flavor. I've never thought of squash having a buttery flavor. That's kind of nice.
The one we talked about was literally called butternut.
Okay, whatever. Didn't know we were the judgmental gardeners. Thanks. Moving on. I hope you didn't get butternut in here. Oh, you did.
Yep.
We're not talking about it. what do we have here? We have buttercup squash called Turk's Turban.
I don't know why.
Why is it called that?
Yeah. What a cool thing. It's really like a squash growing in a squash.
Squashception.
Exactly. In squashion.
Oh, that's so cool. They say it's great for baking and stuffing. I've never stuffed a squash.
I helped Jenny cook one time.
Yeah.
And do you know what I was really surprised at? I thought they would be brutally hard to cut through. And they, while firm, it does, the knife goes through pretty clean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually quite enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, stuffing one.
Yeah. Ooh. I would love to try it.
Yeah.
There's also these really cute, they're zucchini squashes, but they're round.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen zucchini as like a long thing. That's cute.
Yeah. I wonder what that would taste more like. That's why I was curious about that one.
Yeah.
Is it more zucchini or is it more squash?
Stuffed as an interesting side dish. Again, stuffed. But here's something cool with the zucchini squash, because as I mentioned, there's the round one, but then you can get the long ones, and there's one called Desert and one called Black Beauty.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's not black. Who is in charge of the colors of these vegetables?
Like, we don't know what's inside. Maybe it's black inside.
That's appetizing. Because the first thing I do when I cut open a vegetable that's black, I'm like, oh, I should probably eat that.
It says the productive plants are upright and open, revealing the dark fruits. Or maybe the dark. Wait, what?
The dark fruits. It's not black.
Someone grow this and tell us, please. Yeah,
like, I just want to know who's in charge of colors, because I have questions.
Yeah.
Okay. If I asked you what color, you had to tell a kid what color
red.
That was. No.
It looks red. Is it purple Brussels sprout?
Does it look red, Brent?
No, I don't know anymore. This is like that dress phenomenon. Okay, this is one. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. It amazes me how the colors, because, okay, and that is called Red Ball.
Aha!
That is called Red Ball, but it is not red.
I got the assignment.
Okay, I see that I'm single-handedly trying to change this. You have aligned yourself with big vegetable namer. Like, I got it. That's fine.
Ooh, let's talk about strawberries.
Oh, yes. Okay, now you're singing my...
This one just completely caught my attention. Have you ever seen a yellow strawberry?
Do you ever get asked when you were on the floor, or people who know what you do for a living, does anybody ever ask you the question, what tastes better? Have you ever... So I'd get people frequently who would be like, oh, I want a raspberry. Which one tastes better?
Really?
And it's like... I drink my coffee black. You might only like lattes.
Yeah.
Like how I can't answer that because flavor profile is very individualistic.
Yeah.
But I found those yellow ones, they were more novelty in color. I found them quite disappointing in taste.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. They were good. Yeah. I'm not saying it was bad, but I thought it was going to be like different. I thought it was maybe tangy or something. I think that was the color. I'm like, is it going to be like lemony or something? I was a smidge disappointed.
A little bit,
but again, that's a flavor profile.
And it was worth the try, right? Because now you know.
Exactly. And it's going up against tough competition because I love the traditional strawberry.
Mm-hmm. What I really love about strawberries is that you can grow them in a container.
They grow amazing in a hanging basket because you keep them away from slugs and squirrels.
Yeah. And then they have these beautiful flowers that are great for pollinators. Yep. This one is the Regina strawberry. Shout out.
Yeah.
It says the delicate, petite, bright red fruits are produced from summer until the first frost over several years. The berries are sweet with a uniquely rich and fruity flavor. They're ever bearing. They work well in containers or raised beds in full sun to partial shade. Like how more, how much more diverse and accepting can you get with a strawberry?
I got you. Wait, how do you want to grow me? I'm in.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go into watermelon because that was something I wasn't able to get at the grocery store. And this is sort of the same thing as pumpkins, hey? It takes a while for those things to grow.
It really, and this is going to sound really, really silly. Now look at this one, by the way. Look at the name on that one.
wait, it says Early Canada Improved.
Yeah. So I think basically they've made it so that it, I didn't read the back, I didn't have time, but I'm willing to bet they made it so that it happens quicker so you don't have to wait all season.
Oh.
And they improved it. You know what's really good on watermelon, by the way? Okay, yes. I mean,
honey?
Salt.
No.
Try it.
Why?
So on a really, really hot day, okay, there's nothing better than cold watermelon. Well, on a really hot day, you've been sweating, so your sodium is depleted, and you put some salt on it, and the flavor hits it. Just try it. Next really hot day, take watermelon out of the fridge, and not heavily, like not big chunks of like kosher or Himalayan salt, just a little bit of table salt. Just scatter it on it and bite into that. I'll wait till you report in the summer.
Okay, I'm into it.
A client in Montreal, they were actually French from France. They lived in Quebec. Super hot day. And she came out with some watermelon for us. Really, really great client. And I bit it and I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting. And she's like, we put salt on it. And I was like, oh, actually, that's, you know, when like a taste is growing on you as you're, it's like take the tray off her. Yeah, but watermelon, I've never been able to successfully grow a watermelon in Calgary. It requires a ton of water. They're super easy to germinate. They've got the big, fat, sassy leaves. Relatively easy to grow because we get a lot of sunlight, a lot of heat. So that, check, they love that. And then the moisture hits. Mm-hmm. So I can get the flowers. I can get the fruit to develop. It's never gone past that. And then by the time I'm like, it's too late in the season now.
Yeah, yeah. What else we got going on? What do you got over there?
You know what I couldn't find though? Really quickly. So this is a great segue. Cucumbers. I love cucumbers.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a cucumber sandwich?
I love cucumber sandwiches.
Cucumber sandwiches.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they're the bomb. With salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Salt. Have you ever had a cucamelon?
No.
They're actually sour. I believe they're also called mini sour melons, and I believe mini sour cucumbers.
Okay.
Are the name. You should Google it and put one on the screen. Really interesting. So that they're small. They're smaller than a strawberry. Maybe inch and a half.
Guys, they're so cute. And look at these little things.
You can just pop the whole thing in your mouth and eat them. And they're juicy and they're tasty, but they've got a kick to them.
Like really?
If you do find cucamelons, give them a try.
Yeah.
They're really, really tasty.
And of course, you've got broccoli over there.
Yep. Broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, all of the classics.
Yeah.
So here's one. If nobody's had it before, kohlrabi.
Oh, I have never had a kohlrabi.
So
I don't know how you eat it. I don't know how you grow it.
I eat them raw.
Oh.
I eat them raw. I know some people like them. They are very, very hard. It's like an onion and a cabbage, but it doesn't have that sulfur tartness of the onion. They're outstanding.
Oh, wow.
I eat them by, so when I'm chopping them up to put them in a salad, I'm literally eating chunks off the tray.
And that's how you usually use it is in a salad. And
300% of your daily intake of vitamin C.
Wow.
And it's in fibrous form, so your body processes it better.
Yeah.
Like they are insanely good for you. So the vegetable stays low, the stems come off it, and they put out big leaves. They can get about, 3 foot, 4 foot tall maybe. Do really good in the shade. I found they did not, so I've done them in a couple of different areas. They really didn't like full sun.
Okay.
They wilted really fast.
Mm-hmm.
In the shade, did amazing. And I've done purple and white, and they are 10 out of 10 veggie for mm-hmm. me.
That's really cool. Let's talk into some of the more specifics about growing these kinds of seeds. You know, the one thing that I noticed wasn't in this grouping of seeds was seed tape.
Yep.
Are these seeds generally bigger?
Some of them, yes, some of them, no. So if I think you've got them over there, strawberry seeds.
Oh, yeah.
Feel
yeah.
the pack.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Doesn't
yeah.
even feel like the seeds
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
Because you look at the size of them.
Yeah.
But for the majority of them, yeah, the seeds are, I think we're all familiar with watermelon seeds.
Yeah.
I think we're all familiar with pumpkin seeds.
Exactly.
Cucumber seeds.
Yeah.
You pull them in your hand and you've got like seven. You're like, I know I have seven seeds.
Yeah.
So very easy. But on these, speaking of that, it is really, really important to get your spacing right.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they can grow very aggressively.
Yeah. Last week you were talking about valuable real estate. Yeah. That would be why.
Yeah. Zucchinis are fairly common. Like I've never not seen them at the grocery store, put it that way. And they will absolutely like take over the garden. Mm-hmm. They will take over the veggie pot. So will some pumpkins. So you've really got to be careful. Remember when I was talking about the three sister planting?
Right.
Okay. Well, one of the sisters was the squash.
Yeah. Let's go over that just one more time in case anybody missed it. So the three sisters companion planting is squash.
Corn and beans.
Corn and beans.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and they all work together by fixing nitrate and creating stability. So the corn stem and the beans climb that and whatnot. And then one of the purposes of the squash, not just the food, was it forms a ground cover because it's so aggressive. Mm-hmm. So it keeps weeds down.
Yeah.
So it prevents water and the leaves are on the ground drinking up all the sunlight. And it acted as kind of a natural mulch.
Yeah.
If you will. So that was its purpose as the companion planting in there. But as a result of that, okay, it works amazing when you've got a ton of agricultural area and you're doing that. But some of us have small lots or infills, or we've dedicated a bigger area to our flowers or whatnot, and we don't have a large veggie plot. So some of these might not be suitable.
These you have to start inside, right?
I recommend it. And the reason I say grow them inside is what you said earlier is how long it can take to get there. Especially, again, in Calgary, but anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, it can happen. We get it because we're a very northern climate. We're literally land attached all the way up to the boreal forest,
yes,
where those northern winds can hit us. And there's nothing. It's flatland and prairie.
Yeah.
It's not like, Quebec, because Quebec goes all the way up to the territories too, but it's dense forests. And that really cuts down the winds. When that north wind blows, even in summer, you can feel it. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, it's 38 degrees. You go out the next day and it's 14.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, there's a chill in the air. Because of the amount of moisture in a lot of these, they really do not like the frost.
Mm-hmm.
The frost is really going to damage them. So yeah, get an early start on them. Get them in quick. But also know, talking about spacing in the garden, we've talked about this a few times. Plan your spacing in the house because they can get big and aggressive real fast.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you've got room, make sure you've got the timing, make sure you've got the light for them and go with that. But absolutely, yes, yeah, start them indoors.
And again, we're talking Northern Hemisphere. You know, we found out last week that we have a new subscriber over on our YouTube channel. If you're not familiar, we are now doing video over on our YouTube and also on Spotify. So you
and
can
we're
check
doing some
out.
Great shots.
Yes,
I gotta give
we
credit
are.
To you for those.
We are.
Yeah.
But we have a new subscriber from Louisiana. This is Harlia the Swamp Bitch. Had to censor that.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with your comment. Just found this channel. I'm loving both of your vibes. Thank y'all for your time. I'm definitely down for this kind of podcast. Love that.
Yeah, we're definitely down for that kind of listener.
Yes. And Harlia, if you are in Louisiana, I don't think you would have to start these inside, hey?
No, I mean, I had friends who, it's not Louisiana and my geography isn't that bad, but it's right next door and they lived in Mississippi and the stuff they could grow, like they can grow winter vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
I was taught and they're like, oh, do you guys do any winter vegetables? I'm like, ha, 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 ha.
I know. I watched this girl down in Florida and she said that her final frost is Valentine's Day. I was like, that's not even halfway through winter for us.
Valentine's Day and their frost.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, it's all comparative, right?
Our grass is like, you could step on it and it'll pierce your foot and it's white and it's -3 and we're like, kind of frosty this morning. scraping an inch off of your car.
Oh, we're so dramatic.
Yeah, and that's frost. Yeah, but
exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, so starting them inside, make sure to watch out for your spacing. Think about doing a squash companion planting. That's really cool. I'm assuming all of these are pretty good in terms of none of them are going to take over that you would have to avoid planting them next to anything else. Hey, like companion planting wise, like that's the only real one.
Yeah, just keep an eye on them. And like anything, I think we're more hesitant to do it on our veggies because we don't want to lose crop.
Yeah.
But you can trim them back.
What?
Yeah.
So, I would never.
I mean, see? People get that.
I'd be like, I need to give you everything I can give you.
But okay, so this is going to kind of segue in. Zucchini, cucumber, pumpkin, and squash especially are highly susceptible to fungal diseases.
Ah.
And they kind of choke themselves.
Okay.
So they stay on the ground. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of moisture, say, rains a lot. Well, now that rain can't escape. And it's building up as warm moisture breeding ground for fungus.
Yep.
And once that fungus, we know that, we've talked about that before, that you can't cure fungus. You can treat it. Mm-hmm. You can mitigate the spread. You can work at preventing it, but you can't stop it once it's in. You can't cure it. So you really have to be careful. So thinning them, cutting some leaves off, snipping them back, making sure that there's good wind flow, that there's good sunlight and wind on the soil to help dry it out. Maybe use mulches so they're not sitting on that wet soil will absolutely help mitigate that. So trimming veggies back is not the end of the world.
That's such an interesting, I would have never thought, but it makes sense when you explain it.
Yep. We have no problem at looking at like a tree or a hedge or a shrub or even our perennials and go, oh, it's getting a bit shaggy, should trim it back.
Mm-hmm.
But the veggies, you're like, you might want to cut that. And people are like, are you out of your mind?
What are you talking about? Can you do it so that I don't mess it up?
Exactly. But I've trimmed back cucumbers, tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I've trimmed back darn near everything that needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that where I'm like, oh, that branch is interfering or this is causing a problem, I will absolutely just go and snip it back. And I've never once been like, well, I only got 140 pounds of tomatoes. I could have got 150.
Okay, so if you're in that high pressure situation where you're there with the snips and you're like, should I do it? Just do it.
Yeah, as long as you're not cutting main stem, as long as you're not live heading.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Colin told me that I could do this and then you end up killing
cutting,
the whole
you're cutting branches, you're cutting leaders, you're cutting tendrils. You're not cutting main stems. You're not live heading. You're not doing anything like that. You're shaping and forming as the plant goes.
Nice. Let's go into soil.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this entire mini series, we have had a different soil combination for each kind of plant. What do these love to live in?
They love a really rich soil.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they love a really rich soil. It's really good to amend with. They love a really good compost or composted manure.
Oh, so basically what you're doing with your corn and your tomatoes, just put it on over into these as well.
Where the other ones do, they like it. No plant really. I mean, not no plant. There's swamp plants. We could talk to the
Yes!
We could talk to our friend.
Harleya.
Yeah. I like the second part of her name better. It's just, atta girl. But absolutely, there are plants that like wetlands, of course. But a lot of our veggies, a lot of our ornamentals, whatnot, do not. But these guys, they don't need it as well-drained as some of the others.
Okay.
They like a really fertile, rich soil.
Does that also go for things like strawberries? Say you're going to be growing them in a pot. Do you still want like a compost nutrient-rich soil?
Yes, but with things like that in a pot, you know how I feel about mixing compost in. It's too risky. So with that, make sure you've got a really good soil. I would go to something a bit finer, which technically is a compost, but it's a bit finer. I'd go with a worm casting.
Oh, cool. So a worm casting is something that you mix in, like don't just plant directly into worm casting, can you?
You can, but it's mega expensive.
Okay, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Save your money.
If you do 15%, worm castings, that's more than enough.
I have to admit, the last time I used worm castings, we have that Annalena worm castings. Oh my goodness. It made such a difference in my vegetable garden. Love it.
It's not snake oil. It really isn't. I don't promote snake oil. I never will. I ain't nobody sponsoring us. Like, I don't owe anybody anything. So I will never feel the need to speak of a product, worm castings. And the reason I like worm castings is because then you can add a extremely nutrient, rich, and dense amendment to containers.
Yes.
Because if you put in a sea soil or a mature composted sheep manure, that's very heavy and it holds moisture. It can block drain holes. Now you have a problem. Mm-hmm. Worm castings is, it's airy. It's light. Like yeah. you're feeling it. You're like, really? It's that rich? And it supercharges. I know there's still people out there that when you say the word manure, they're like, oh.
100%.
Like gross, like poop, right? It's not, it's composted.
Yeah.
It's broken down. It's turned back into soil because these animals are animals that, that's why you see horse, sheep, cow, you won't see pig.
Yep.
Because pigs are omnivorous and that is not something you want. You want like basically herbivores.
Yeah.
They create the best composted manure and there is no smell. There's so cool. Nothing. It's a very healthy, rich soil. So you get that just using a smaller animal. Mm-hmm. You get that with worms and hey presto, you got your strawberries. But all of them want a very rich soil because they are aggressive mm-hmm. growers. They are growing either a ton of fruit like the strawberry or big, big fruits like your pumpkins and your watermelons mm-hmm. and whatnot. So they require a lot of energy. They're gonna need a healthy soil to start, and it's a darn good idea to be fertilizing them through the season too.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Can you use just a regular all-purpose fertilizer? Is there like a specialty fertilizer?
Not really. There isn't really a specialty one for these. You can use an all-purpose, sure. Ideally, though, you want something that is lower in nitrogen.
Lower in nitrogen.
Yeah, so you're looking for like a 5-10-10.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something that has lower, because nitrogen is above ground leafy growth. You don't need any more leaves. They have that covered.
You're trying to cut them back.
Exactly. So what you're looking for is root development and flower and fruit veggie mm-hmm. development. You don't want a ridiculously high nitrogen on your gourds. Other veggies, your kohlrabis, your broccolis, your cauliflowers, they'll be okay with a 20-20-20 and, okay. and all-purpose for sure. But for your strawberries, your gourds and whatnot, lower the nitrogen a little.
You know, if you never did fertilizer before, I think this with like the really long growing time, now would be a time yep. to start.
Yeah. Like yeah. play with it. And any fertilizer is better than none. Mm-hmm. They do require it. So if all you have on hand is all-purpose, go for it. If all you have on hand is like a tree fertilizer, like a 30-10-10, maybe don't use that. Maybe dial that one back. But the rest of them, all purpose or anything with low nitrogen, fill
yeah.
your boots.
Yeah. Let's talk about cold hardy because sometimes, you know, in the past episodes, we've been like, leafy greens are really cold hardy. Yep. So they can probably last a little longer into the season. What do you think about these?
They can take, again, because a lot of them are autumnal, they can take a light frost, but once you start getting into frost, it's going to be game over pretty okay. quick.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the actual food, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Strawberries will already be done by the time the late frosts come. Most right. of our strawberries are finished. Most kohlrabis are done. Cucumbers, I normally think my cucumbers are done performing late August, beginning of September.
Yeah.
And they're kind of finished. So a lot of them you're going to be okay, but your pumpkins, your watermelons, your gourds, they have a thick skin for a reason, but a few hard frosts and that skin can't take it anymore. The cellular damage, it starts breaking it down and then you get that fruit that's all wrinkly and wizened and yeah. soft.
Yeah.
So if there's a couple of freak frosts coming, get a frost blanket on them.
Oh, good. See, yeah. frost blanket is something that you should definitely have in your
Absolutely.
Toolkit. Speaking of toolkit, let's talk about some of the equipment that you'll need. You know, I've grown cucumbers in a pot and then trailed it up.
Yep.
So that's something yep. that you can try if you don't want it just like on the ground, if you have valuable real estate.
Yep.
What other kinds of like equipment? Obviously, you don't need that for this, but what kinds of equipment do you foresee needing for these kinds of plants?
So trellis, great idea yep. right off. Another good one, I'm going to give a shout out to our friends Peter and Bree here. Mm-hmm. So they grew pumpkins. I'm going to tell my pumpkin story now.
Oh, there we go. Dun, dun, dun. There we go.
So a number of years ago, was growing a pumpkin and literally growing it for the purpose of letting Harry carve it for Halloween.
Cool.
And he was super excited. He was all in with me and we got it and the plant did amazing and I trimmed it and we had a perfect pumpkin forming, like shape, look, how orange it was. It was beautiful. It was, I don't know, maybe in between a baseball and a softball size.
Oh, that's so satisfying.
And we're like, oh, this, and we were both super excited with it. And we're talking about, and it just didn't get bigger.
It just stopped?
It just didn't get bigger. And it just, and we're like, what? And I picked it up and I turned it around and the slugs had eaten the back of it out and eaten all of the insides out. And it was just like 2/3 shell.
Those sneaky
sitting
pests
at the front. And I was like, well, Peter and Bree grew pumpkins and they were very successful with them. And what Bree did is she took a cup and she put it like that. And when the pumpkin was big enough, she put it in the cup and it grew on top of the cup and there was no moisture on the bottom. And they're very careful about the slugs and whatnot. And they grew a couple of good sized pumpkins.
That is the smartest thing I've ever heard.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I was like, and they did something really cute too. And this is fun. This isn't a tool that you need, but if you want to have fun with it, they carved their initials in the pumpkin.
Oh my gosh.
And then as it grew bigger, it stayed in the skin because the skin forms nice and thick. So they actually carved their initials in.
I'm totally copywriting all my pumpkins this year.
Totally. So there's a tool you can use. It's not really a hardware per se, but I would absolutely recommend keeping a fungicide
okay
on hand.
Yep.
But really they're quite self-supporting. You want
that.
Them to do their own thing.
There's a win for them. Hey, let's go into more of those bugs, diseases. You talked about slugs. You talked so I feel like out of everything we've talked about, these are susceptible to a lot.
Animals are very attracted to them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they really are. So bunnies will love them.
Oh no.
Yeah, bunnies will chomp on them. Squirrels will go for them. I'll say this carefully so we don't get another shot. Slugs and snails. They're moist. They're very good and crunchy for them to get their teeth into. Because of the amount of foliage and the leaves overlap and there's tons of nodes and they're very coarse. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt the stem of them? Like they're very rough.
Yes.
You almost kind of feel like a plant sandpaper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's descriptive.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's how I always feel about them. Like they feel like you could exfoliate your hands, clean your hands with them. Well, it's a perfect breeding ground for aphids and spider mites. Keep an eye on them. Yep. And the moment, like that's why I said, trim them, put them down. Use mulches, use straw.
Yeah.
Get a bale of straw and put straw down. They're called strawberries. They like that because it allows the moisture to go through and it dries out nice and quick for them to sit on.
Yeah.
Just really try and be very careful with your water. Don't use a sprinkler. If you're watering by hand, don't just spray on the leaves, water the roots.
Yeah.
The plant will do just fine. They need the dryness, but ironically, they need a ton of moisture.
Mm-hmm. Going into some of the things that you can do with harvest, because of course you must be growing it for the actual product, right? But I was looking this up because someone told me that you can also use the leaves. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So what? I said, can you cook squash leaves? And they were saying, yep, you can stir fry, stew, or steam them.
Obviously, don't do it if you've sprayed a ton of fungicide on it or if they have powdery mildew.
Yes.
If the leaf is clean, get out of here.
They say leaves from winter squash have amazing flavors when they're cooked. They're kind of like a spinach-like texture, which is cool. And then also...
Well, they're a very dark green, which would make sense. Like they 100%. Would have.
Like, I mean, if you're cutting the back anyway, why not just use them?
That is fantastic.
So that's something to look into.
I just learned something. That's wicked.
And then also squash flowers. Have you heard of that? Edible squash flowers?
No. The bright yellow big flowers.
Yep. Edible squash flowers.
Well, look at me learning stuff. They almost look like a chicken wing.
They do, don't they? I mean, I would eat this in a restaurant for sure.
I would absolutely try that. Like, and it looks like they're just kind of stir fried or like in a wok or something.
Like deep fried like fried with like salt and herbs and stuff. If you say get really successful with your squashes and you're like, I have too many, I would like to try to do something with the flowers. And this is an option.
Well, exactly. Because if you have The reason I love that is if you have a ton of flowers and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with 100 zucchini.
Yeah.
You can pop them off. Plus, then if you've live headed, the plant will put so much more energy into the actual vegetable and fruit and whatnot that it's producing. So you're going to get a better success rate and you get a delicious snack on root. Sign me up.
So we've essentially used every part of it. Like, I feel like it's a win.
And then when you've taken all the leaves off the stem, then you can use the stem and exfoliate your hands.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, as we wrap up this this segment, I want to surprise you with something, but I need to leave.
Oh, is that my surprise? That's a terrible surprise. I'm out of here.
So, I need to clear some space.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. My friend. Guess what this is?
A melon.
Yes, it's a melon. Good job.
There we go.
This is something that we don't have a seed for, which is interesting because you know what we're talking about? You go to the grocery store and you're like, oh man, like these are the common things, right? But this melon I'd never seen before. This is called a Santa Claus melon.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
it's because it's red.
Okay, here's another name for it, though. It's also known as toad skin, originating in Spain.
Toad skin, I can see. Okay.
Yeah. So I've cut up a couple different pieces. So try one and tell me what you think.
Did you try one yet?
No.
So I'm the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Have you ever had this before?
Never had this before. Yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, ooh, it's new. Let's try. I don't know. It's so for anybody who has never seen a Santa Claus melon before, it essentially is sort of like white looking. It's got some seeds in the middle. And then on the outside, it's got like sort of like a toad, like exactly like a toad. It's kind of a mixture of green and yellow.
Yeah, it's yellow and it's mottled.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is delicious.
Okay, what do you think about the taste? What does it remind you of?
Obviously, cantaloupe is the first one that comes to mind. Really firm, incredibly juicy and sweet, but not too sweet.
Aha. Yeah. They said it was kind of close to a honeydew melon, which it makes sense because when you look at it, it looks like a honeydew melon on the inside.
Mm.
I see what you mean by cantaloupe.
Yeah. It's almost got like a, almost got like a buttery texture.
It really does. This is really good.
That is a 10 out of 10
find. That is a really good one. Well, that wraps us up for this episode. Before we go, I want to ask you, what vegetable out of this bowl do you identify with most?
Oh, the cauliflower.
I was going to say the butternut squash. I've never been like, wow, my physique looks just like a butternut squash. I'm like, I feel seen. I feel seen, Colin.
I feel validated.
I feel like that's my new friend in this bowl. I like the cauliflower, though. I think that's a good one.
When I was a kid, one of my nicknames was cauliflower.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. You shouldn't have told me that.
Because people in England abbreviated my name from Colin to Col, C-O-L. Oh, no. And then people would call me Border Collie or Cauliflower.
At least you were named a flower.
Yep, right? Exactly.
If you are listening over on Spotify, make sure to head over and check out our polls and questions. Give us your opinion. There's lots of ways to get a hold of us. You can email us info@goldenacre.ca. Just put podcast in the subject line. We'll see it. You can leave us a comment over on YouTube, over on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And next week, we're continuing our mini seed starting series with our final episode of March. And it's going to be all about flowers.
I love that.
It's going to be a complete changeover from all the fruits and vegetables that we've been talking about.
I've done it. You've corrected me so many times when we talk about seeds and I immediately go to flowers. Immediately go to veggies and tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers. And you're always like, other seeds? And I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah.
And the irony there is, you know, I love my flowers more than my veggies.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. It satisfies so many different needs, right? It satisfies the pollinators. It satisfies the aesthetic. It just adds a different element to your garden. So something to consider for your garden. And we'll talk all about that next weekend.
Excellent. See you then, everyone.